Well, I remember a little while ago, I was back in preschool. It was only a little while ago, seriously. But whenever the teacher wanted to line us up, she wouldn't ask us to do it. Instead, she said, you know what, let's play a game, everyone. And I said, beauty, who would rather play a game than do schoolwork? There's still a number of you here today that would be like that. Yeah, I'm not really looking at you, Todd, but that's all right. The thing is, as soon as you said you were going to play a game, she had me hooked. Yes, not a problem. She says, okay, we're going to play a game. We're going to play a game of follow the leader. Right. Jump on, and she'd start walking around the classroom. She'd even step up over chairs, sometimes step up on top of chairs. She even crawled under a desk once, so we all followed her underneath the desk. Up the other side, but eventually she'd always end up at the door. When she'd turn around us and go, you guys have been doing such a fantastic job, let's put you into two lines now and see which line does the better one. And then she'd walk out the door and go and take us to wherever else we needed to go in the school, maybe to the library or to the music room. After a while, though, we figured out whenever she said, let's play a game of follow the leader, that's good, was that she then meant just line up at the door, we're going for a walk around the school. The thing was, though, when she said this, we followed her. There was no question about it. She told us to do it, and we did it. But tonight, as we begin to look at Mark's gospel, we have an event here where Jesus asked some fishermen to follow him. And that was not some sort of a game, though. But instead, as we're going to see, it was a lifetime commitment for them. This great news about this section, though, is that it wasn't just these fishermen that Jesus is speaking to, but he's calling us as well. Let me pray as we look further into this. Our Lord and our God, we pray that tonight you will open our eyes, open our minds and open our hearts to what it is that you want us to learn tonight from these words. Amen. Well, let's set the scene a little bit to begin with. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. You see, John the Baptist did exactly that. He has been the one that has fulfilled this prophecy of Isaiah. He came to prepare the way for Jesus, to make it so that there can't be any distractions, to make the path straight. He's made the way clear for Jesus to come. He's shown us, though, at the same time, I'm not the one that you're looking for. And he clearly states that in verses 7 and 8 when he says these words. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, John, he's just the supporting act before the main event. It's sort of like a rock concert. The main act never comes on first. It's always a supporting band that comes up and does a little bit of a performance, sort of to G everyone up a bit and get everyone excited. And then the next thing you know, they've left the stage and the main act comes on. They're the ones that you've paid to see. They're the ones that you want to see. The other band is just a support act to the main act. The story, though, continues in verses 9 through to 13 as John is baptizing people. And then Jesus has come and he's been baptized by John, but straight away been sent off into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. But finally, the time has come in verses 14 through to 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. See, John has now been removed from the stage, the supporting act has done its job, and it's now time for the main act to begin. Jesus' time has come. It's time for Jesus to commence his public ministry. And that's where Mark begins, as I mentioned before. So what does Jesus then do? Where does he want to start it all? Well, he goes about and proclaims the good news. In particular, he says there, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. See, this message that Jesus is coming to say is the same message that Isaiah and the other prophets have been speaking about before Jesus. It was the same thing that John was telling the people. Repent. Turn back to God. There's a key difference though. The key difference here is that there is now an urgency in what Jesus is telling them. It's not just repent and believe the good news. There's a reason behind it. For the kingdom of God is near. This call to turn back to God, to repent, it's an urgent call for them all to be listening to. So what Jesus is saying here, as I read from one commentator, God's time has now arrived. This time has come for God to fix up this world. And God, through his kingdom coming, is about to rule in history in a new and perfect way, to set wrongs right, to bring healing, to correct injustice, and to establish peace. This is going to be a very different way in which God will rule. But what are the practicalities of this? Well, that's shown to us as Jesus calls out to some lonely fishermen. Not lonely, lowly fishermen. And says the following in verses 16 to 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So these guys are fishermen. They're working in their family business. They're probably not making a huge amount of profits, but enough to be able to live off and to have a bit of savings left over. So why then give all of this up? Why leave everything behind? Leave their livelihoods, their boats, their family, and follow this guy Jesus? You see, for us, if you think about it, it's pretty easy to give up something that you don't have. If you lived, for example, on your own, out at the Narrabri Tip, and someone came along to you and said, hey, come follow me. Well, you know what? I've got nothing out here. There's nothing really good out here. I mean, yes, Howard does see a couple of good bits of wood every now and then out there, but most of it is just junk. It's just rubbish. If someone said, come and follow me, and you were living out there, you'd have nothing really to lose and everything to gain. But these fishermen, they had things to lose. They had things that they actually had to walk away from. And the other case in matter is that they didn't have any real extra motivation. Jesus hasn't said to them here, come and follow me because I'm going to make you filthy rich. If someone said that, you'd be like, oh yeah, I'm there. But they didn't. He didn't say, come and follow me. I'm going to give you something really nice. Or come and follow me. There's so much in it for you. No, instead he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, at the moment it doesn't seem like there's any real benefit for them. But these four men leave everything and follow Jesus. You see, at this stage, they didn't actually know that Jesus was the one that was going to go and die for them on the cross. They didn't realize that Jesus was in fact the Messiah that had been spoken about by the prophets. All of the pieces of the puzzles for them hadn't been put together yet. Yet they followed. And how did they follow? Well, it's there in verse 18 and 20. At once they left their nets and followed him. And in verse 20, without delay he called them and they left their father Zebedee. They didn't just sit there and think about it for a little while and say, oh, you know what, Jesus, sounds all right. Let me get back to you in another couple of weeks' time. You know, let me have a think about this and weigh up the pros and the cons and I'll get back to you when I'm ready. They didn't do that. They saw an urgency in what Jesus was saying and they abandoned everything for the sake of Jesus' call on their lives. No argument, no hesitation, only immediate compliance with what Jesus told them to do. So what about us then? You see, we have so much more reason to hear Jesus' call in our lives. We've got all the pieces of the puzzle to put together. We know what Jesus has done. we've got the whole Bible to be able to say, I can see how the Old Testament points towards the need for a Saviour and how Jesus is that Saviour. We can see this big picture and how everything has turned out in the end. We can see what Jesus has done for us in taking our place and taking the punishment that we deserved. So you're going to hear these words of Jesus? Come, follow me. There's still today, though, as there was for those fishermen, an urgency. An urgency not just in the call, but also in our response to what Jesus is saying. There is no time to waste. We need to decide, just as the fishermen did, if we're going to follow Jesus or not. I don't know, most of you guys here, you've all decided to follow Jesus. But are we really following him fully? Have a think about this hypothetical for a moment. At the end of this service, you go, well, I need to get home a bit quicker. So you get out to the car as quick as you can, and as you're heading out there, along comes Jesus. And he says to you, come, follow me. How are you actually going to respond? Do you sort of go, oh, hang on, how about we go in my car? No, Jesus says, leave your car, come and follow me. Okay, suppose I won't be needing my keys then, maybe I'll just put them down here. Don't worry, I'll just go to my car and I'll get my wallet out because that's got some money in it and my cards so that I can access. No, don't worry about it. Come and follow me. That's okay, I can do without all of that. As long as I have my phone, then I'll be set. I can do everything. No. Leave that behind. Oh, but I need to make a quick call to my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband, my wife. No, don't worry about it. Leave it all behind. Come and follow me. But that's really what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, come and follow me right now. It's urgent. There's no time to waste. So what are you going to do? Jesus has taken center stage and he calls us to follow him, to give up as the fishermen did and give our lives for his service. Jesus is after our complete allegiance to him. And what Marcus points out here at the beginning of his book is at the heart of following Jesus is doing what he says by fishing for men. See, as a Christian, this isn't optional. If we're followers of Jesus, then we also need to be telling people about him. And I think if you go, oh, it's not really me, I'm a bit opposed to all of that, I don't think you've understood what it really means to be a Christian. Because he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So there's good news even just in that. He will help you in this task. See, this week it might be a good week to go fishing. Don't go down to the river though, but go out into our communities, fishing for people. In your everyday life, try and find opportunities in which to share with people about Jesus. Maybe it's this week when you're at school. Maybe Howard's going to be in his staff room. Maybe as we play touch tomorrow night for a number of us out on the sporting field, someone there begins to talk about religion. Do we just shy away from it? Or do we instead stand up and talk openly about Jesus and the impact that he's had on your life? Maybe as you fish, you might just get that bite. And then as Colin says in one of his songs, he says, if you get that bite, then reel it in. If you get a bite when you're fishing, you're not just going to leave it there. You're going to start reeling it in. So do the same. Maybe it might even mean that in the future, as you're thinking about different things, you put some time aside in your diary to go, I'm going to help organise a mission for this church. Maybe you can be praying about the people that you can be inviting along to the next men's event coming up just this next Saturday, to the next women's event, to the next youth outreach event at the end of this term. You see, we've got to not be worried about rejection or anything like that. We've got to be prepared to go out on a limb, to talk to these people, not worried about what they're going to say, because that's what Jesus is calling us to do. If we're going to come and follow him, then we need to be fishers of men. So what are you going to do this week in response to Jesus' call on your life to come and follow him? Are you going to go out and be a fisherman, or are you going to shy away and keep to yourself? Let me pray. Lord, we do thank you so much that you have called us to come and follow you. Lord, we pray that you will help us in the task it is to be fishers of men. Lord, to go out and reach the lost, to tell people about you. Lord, we pray that you will help us to realize the urgency in amongst all of this message, that it's an urgent message to follow you, and it's urgent because one day soon you will return. Help us, Lord, to seek the lost and to make them and to help them to come and to see you as their Lord, their Saviour and their King. Amen.